You guys are... I had such a good intro blend. You guys are very kind. You guys are very kind. Here we go. Who is excited to be in PM Church tonight? Now, at this point, the very first thing I'll say, if you are new and a guest here tonight, get ready. Here we go. And just if you don't know me, my our passion, Shire Life Church's passion, expresses itself in sometimes bizarre ways. But you need not stress. My veins and my red face and my sweat patches will do it all for you. And we are going to have an amazing time. Are you ready? Hey, I did want to shout out a few people that I saw. Sire up there. Hello, mate. How are you? I like the person you're sitting next to, brother, as well. You legend. You can't be a youth pastor and get up here and not do that. Now, Caleb and Harry up here as well. It's great to have you boys. And, you know, there's a few families and faces around the place that perhaps haven't been here long enough to be around me preaching. And it's an honor to speak and share the word with you tonight. And I am full of faith. Did you feel in worship that something, we just could have kept going in worship? Could you feel that? You could just sense that the Holy Spirit is definitely in the room, ready to do something, ready to move, ready to break strongholds, ready to change mindsets, ready for us to run the race that we're destined to run. And so I sort of feel like my job tonight is to do this very quick, to lay up a little bit of scripture and then just let the Holy Spirit go crazy. And I really want to, I know that if we had have had an altar call, if we had have invited people down for prayer, even just at worship, there would have been so many people that would have been, yeah, I'm in. I feel God speaking to me right now. And I want you to lean into the word with that much expectancy so that when the time comes for us to open the altars for ministry, you are fully ready for that that flood from heaven that drenches our soul on moments like this. Hey, can we pray? Here we go. God, we just thank you for the word tonight. God, thank you that you are so amazing. And we just simply want to get out of your way. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Come and move through us. God, come and be in our midst tonight because we are simply here just for a word from you. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, of course, we are continuing on our Marked, Inspired, Bold journey. And I really, I feel like I'm doing part two of Pastor Brad's message today. And we are going to hit the bold theme again. The bold theme. And the reason why is because I don't know about you, but there are things in my life that God is saying it's time for some bold action this year. Okay, I personally, and I know you have as well, I have been marked. I know that if you've sat in a service, any service of our church, you know that there is a call of God in your life. You know that God has something powerful for you. You know that there is something special for you on the planet. We know that we are marked. Now, like always, like everybody, we could be more inspired and spend more time in prayer. It's a challenge for ourselves in 2017. And the result of that inspired. I've got a deadline on my bold action. I'm not going to tell you when, because you'll know if I don't reach it. wasn't being humble, being selfish. I know when I need to be bold. I know a number of things in my life, and I know when I need to be bold. And I'm using this time to get inspired by the Holy Spirit, to say, Holy Spirit, I need another touch from you tonight. As soon as I get off this stage, I'm coming to the altar, and I am saying, God, I actually need some Holy Spirit inspiration, flood from heaven, because I need a bold action. And the way that I want to approach it tonight is, the thought that I sort of want to come around is, it's more than just a cliche. It's more than just a cliche. The reason why is because it happens to all of us. When we come into church and we get saved in a Pentecostal church, we always hear the same expressions over and over and over and over and over again. And it's sort of like, particularly in our prayer lives and when you hear people pray in public, you can sort of think maybe that it's just something that you say in a prayer. It's just something that you... they're just words. And the spiritual weight that is behind it, you're not actually claiming it. You're just saying the words. And I don't want us to stop praying the two things that we're going to speak about tonight. In fact, I want us to pray them even more as we head into 2017. I want us to claim them even more, just with some fresh, powerful revelation behind them. So, Nehemiah, right? Nehemiah. If you haven't read it, I'll journey you through it very quickly. Nehemiah is a man and he is working in an ungodly king's palace. The nation of Israel has been exiled. There is no nation of Israel at the moment. It is just there everywhere. And this one bloke, Nehemiah, finds himself working as the cupbearer to an ungodly king. Now, when he hears the news about his city, his heart breaks, he prays, he fasts, and he asks for favor from the king. What ends up happening is we read in the preceding chapters is that an ungodly king ends up funding a very godly work. Something that is so integral to redemption history, an ungodly king buys into it, puts his resources behind it, releases it to be happened, changes things so it could happen. And then we see this amazing picture. We see this amazing picture in Nehemiah chapter 8. And there are about 50,000 people gathered together to be under God's word, so that that God's word could be read to them. And it's so amazing that when they hear it, what happens is they all weep. The Bible says that they get down, they fall to their knees, and people are crying. The job has been done. The wall rebuilt. People are coming home. The city is now safe, but they get down on their knees and they start to cry. Now, Nehemiah, he says something insanely profound. Insanely profound. He says, now is not the time for weeping or for mourning. Now is the time that we should eat and celebrate. Eat the finest of foods and drink the finest of wines, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the two that I want to come around tonight are the concept of King of Kings and the concept, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? Well, I was reflecting on, you know, the amount of things that I pray with. Sometimes they're just word fillers, and that's fine. You know, you're in the moment and you're just praying to God. And so I wrote a few down, and you may identify with them as well. There's a few that I've said publicly. So there's Lord God, the Lord God prayers, the Father God prayers, the God of the heavenly prayers, the Lord of heaven's armies. That one's a good one. The God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And at the end of every prayer, it is, and everybody said, amen. Amen. And the thing is that for me, and I was the first in my family to come to know Jesus, and I didn't know what a lot of them meant. I was reflecting on what that may feel like for someone who walks into a church like ours and hear us say bold statements like that and not know what it means. And I likened it to this time that I was in Woolworths. It was the 11th of November 2016. It was a Friday, and I was happy. I was buying stuff for youth at Woolworths in Miranda. It was Remembrance Day, and I remember, I think we were having a, I can't remember, I'm pretty sure I was buying fruit to smash at youth, as youth ministry does. And anyway, I'm walking with my trolley through the fresh fruit section, I'm loading up stuff, and, it, you know, an announcement comes, dun, 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 whatever, and it's Remembrance Day, and it's 11 minutes past 11 on the 11th of the 11th. Would you join us in a moment's silence? And so at that point, everyone freezes, bows their heads. Anyway, I noticed some movement. So I turn my head, and there is this beautiful foreign couple with their trolley. And it's like the world is frozen. It's like the first time that they've ever realized their power to freeze the world. And they are driving their trolley through everyone, thinking, what the heck is going on? Honestly, I wanted to remember the fallen soldiers. And I wanted to pay my respects, and I did my absolute best. But God bless the tourists who just lightened my day so much. And that one was a good one, eh? I've been waiting for an appropriate time to share that story for something like 4 months now. The King of Kings message, right? The King of Kings. You know, when we come in, and I can guarantee that most of us in the room have prayed, God, we just thank you that you are the King of Kings. We thank you that you are the Lord of Lords. And it is now one of my favorite scriptures, but I truly did not realize the significance of what it means. You see, like you, I come to church on a Sunday and I am convinced that God is the ruler of the universe. I'm like, hallelujah, I'm taking the world. But it takes me approximately like 8 minutes after I leave the building to forget or to let something slip up the influential hierarchy in my life and become king over my life again. And before long, I'm being a Christian. I'm saying King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but I am living under the influence that I have put higher than God in my life. So I want to read you some scriptures. Check this out. Check this out. Psalm 68 verse 8. Among the gods, there is no one like you, Lord. No deeds can compare to yours. Psalm 33 verse 10 to 11. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. Psalm 24 verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. Amazing, powerful, prophetic, chain-breaking scriptures. But it's just so easy when we walk out to forget them all. To leave the Holy Spirit experience down at the altar. To literally cry as someone lays hands on you and you feel the breakthrough power of God pulsating through your body, to just literally, as if you were stepping out of a skin, leave that moment, that power at the altar, and you get into your car like me, and we have forgotten that everything on the earth is the Lord's. All the people in it, all of the world, all of creation. We forget that the plans of the Lord will never fail. No one can stop them. And so what I want to remind us tonight is that when we say King of Kings, Lord of Lords, it's not the start of a prayer. They're not just words. They are our way of saying, I've got a hierarchy in my life of things that will determine how my life goes, how my life is directed. And when I prophesy King of Kings, I am literally saying, God, I am clearing out the way that you will be seated number one again. Number one again. I was amazed. If you're new and visiting and you don't know what's about to happen, apologies. We were actually in life group the other day. I am the youth pastor, but I rarely get to run a life group because we've got amazing life group leaders. And for the past 3 weeks, I've run a life group. When we studied Psalm 86 verse 8 as a life group, James Collis, I mean, he didn't know that he was transforming the way that I thought about this particular passage. Because we just read, among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare to yours. I said, boys, what do you think it means? And Collis, the legend that he is, he goes, well, sort of in my life, in my experience, you know, God's could be interpreted pain. God's could be interpreted suffering. God's could be interpreted bullying. And what the verse is saying, that God, our Lord, is superior to them all. And they ultimately answer to him. I do not answer to them. I answer to him, as do they. And I want us to remember tonight that maybe you have to come down to the front at ministry time and prophesy over yourself. Lord of lords and King of kings. That relationship that broke down is not king of my life. That person or that boss is not king of my life. That sickness is not God of my life. Words spoken over me in the past is they are not Lord of my life. An experience that has held on to you for far too long. I'm standing with you tonight to declare that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come into your life like a flood, and he will wash out every power that that thing had over you, and he will reestablish himself as number one. A sin or addiction that you felt like you could not shake up until tonight. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The second is the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, you may be like me. I legitimately had no idea what that meant. I'm telling you, I thought I knew what that meant. But upon researching and reading Nehemiah, because it appears twice in the Bible, once in the book of Psalms and once in the book of Nehemiah. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, here's the context. I'll reshare it. It's the people are now gathered together. And they're hearing the Bible, the law being preached to them, and they get down and they weep. You see, what the enemy does is, if he can't stop you getting into the room, once you're in the room, he'll point out everything, every reason why you shouldn't be in the room. What had happened is, literally the walls had been completed. There are now nearly 50,000 people standing in this crowd, all being preached to. And when they hear the story of their ancestors, they realize this, that the walls had been broken down, that the people had been exiled, not because of God and his bad character, but because of them and their bad character. And so when they got down and cried, they were literally weeping at the fact, oh my gosh, I've just had a revelation that I am a sinner, that we are not good. And they bowed down and they cried. Nehemiah says, ladies and gentlemen, get up. Now is not the time for weeping or for mourning. Now is the time to celebrate. Now is the time to come to the Lord's table and to eat of the finest fare and to drink of the finest drinks. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the joy of the Lord is your strength actually mean now? It means that once you are in the presence of God and you have a revelation of how bad you are, or how bad you may be, or how bad the enemy is making you feel, the next step to that revelation is that God takes intense joy from rescuing you from that situation. God is not saying, I had to rebuild the walls for you. What did you do getting yourself into that situation? No, he is celebrating the fact that his people are finally home. It's time to celebrate. You're in the grace of God. You are in the presence that heals, the presence that breaks free, the presence that that loosens chains that have been on you and your family. It's not the time to look inward at how bad you are. It's the time to realize, God takes so much joy in rescuing me out of this situation. How many times have you and I, if the band could come into that situation? No, he is celebrating the fact that his people are finally home. It's time to celebrate. You're in the grace of God. You are in the presence that heals, the presence that breaks free, the presence that that loosens chains that have been on you and your family. It's not the time to look inward at how bad you are. It's the time to realize God takes so much joy in rescuing me out of this situation. How many times have you and I, if the band could come and join me, that would be awesome. I don't understand it. I do. I do understand that moment where you realize I was pretending I had it all together. I was pretending. Or maybe you're really fresh around the place and you're realizing that that was not the plan for God of your life and you walked away from it. And I fully identify, like probably you do, that moment where you simply say to God, say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm shocking. I'm so sorry, God, that you had to rescue me. And I start down this train of thought, this train of prayer that is like, woe is me, woe is God. How bad are we? That's actually not how it is. God is end it. I do understand that moment where you realize I was pretending I had it all together. I was pretending. Or maybe you're really fresh around the place and you're realizing that that was not the plan for God of your life and you walked away from it. And I fully identify, like probably you do, that moment where you simply say to God, say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm shocking. I'm so sorry, God, that you had to rescue me. And I start down this train of thought, this train of prayer that is like, woe is me, woe is God. How bad are we? That's actually not how it is. God is end it. I do understand that moment where you realize I was pretending I had it all together. I was pretending. Or maybe you're really fresh around the place and you're realizing that that was not the plan for God of your life and you walked away from it. And I fully identify, like probably you do, that moment where you simply say to God, say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm shocking. I'm so sorry, God, that you had to rescue me. And I start down this train of thought, this train of prayer that is like, woe is me, woe is God. How bad are we? That's actually not how it is. God is, I do understand that moment where you realize I was pretending I had it all together. I was pretending. Or maybe you're really fresh around the place and you're realizing that that was not the plan for God of your life and you walked away from it. And I fully identify, like probably you do, that moment where you simply say to God, say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm shocking. I'm so sorry, God, that you had to rescue me. And I start down this train of thought, this train of prayer that is like, woe is me, woe is God. How bad are we? That's actually not how it is. God is like, finally, you realize I was pretending I had it all together. I was pretending. Or maybe you're really fresh around the place and you're realizing that that was not the plan for God of your life and you walked away from it. And I fully identify, like probably you do, that moment where you simply say to God, say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm shocking. I'm so sorry, God, that you had to rescue me. And I start down this train of thought, this train of prayer that is like, woe is me, woe is God. How bad are we? That's actually not how it is. God is like, finally, you're here with me. It's time to eat. Realize I was pretending I had it all together. I was pretending. Or Maybe you're really fresh around the place and you're realizing that that was not the plan for God of your life and you walked away from it. And I fully identify, like probably you do, that moment where you simply say to God, say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm shocking. I'm so sorry, God, that you had to rescue me. And I start down this train of thought, this train of prayer that is like, woe is me, woe is God. How bad are we? That's actually not how it is. God is like, finally, you're here with me. It's time to eat. I was pretending. Or maybe you're really fresh around the place and you're realizing that that was not the plan for God of your life and you walked away from it. And I fully identify, like probably you do, that moment where you simply say to God, say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm shocking. I'm so sorry, God, that you had to rescue me. And I start down this train of thought, this train of prayer that is like, woe is me, woe is God. How bad are we? That's actually not how it is. God is like, finally, you're here with me. It's time to eat. Come to my table. It's time to party, ladies and gentlemen. This is the exile. Maybe you're really fresh around the place and you're realizing that that was not the plan for God of your life and you walked away from it. And I fully identify, like probably you do, that moment where you simply say to God, say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm shocking. I'm so sorry, God, that you had to rescue me. And I start down this train of thought, this train of prayer that is like, woe is me, woe is God. How bad are we? That's actually not how it is. God is like, finally, you're here with me. It's time to eat. Come to my table. It's time to party, ladies and gentlemen. This is the exiles have returned home. The word is being preached. Worship has been restored. You ain't the plan for God of your life and you walked away from it. And I fully identify, like probably you do, that moment where you simply say to God, say to yourself, oh my goodness, I'm shocking. I'm so sorry, God, that you had to rescue me. And I start down this train of thought, this train of prayer that is like, woe is me, woe is God. How bad are we? That's actually not how it is. God is like, finally, you're here with me. It's time to eat. Come to my table. It's time to party, ladies and gentlemen. This is the exiles have returned home. The word is being preached. Worship has been restored. You are in my presence. It's time to celebrate. So I want with you. For a few years, I have had the great honor of walking someone very dear to me through a very hard time of their life. And it has involved many appearances in court. And under very unfair circumstances, and there's just been time after time where we've had to do this, and it's been my honour to sit in that witness in the gallery where just anyone can sit and just, you know, be their strength, be their support, and whatnot. In last year when we were going for the final time, this song "What a Beautiful Name" had come out that morning. And I remember listening to it, and it was an amazing song. When we got into the courtroom, it was final proceedings. The verdict was about to be handed down, and you know, the all the gods. There is no one like our Lord. No deeds can compare to Him. Psalm 136, verse 2 and 3. To the God of gods, and the Lord of Lords, His love endures forever. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me? We're about to go into a time of